Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the At-Large Ad Hoc Working Group on IANA Transition and ICANN Accountability, taking place on Monday, the 20th of April, 2015 at 1300 UTC. On the English channel, we have Gordon Chillicott, Barack Otenio, Tidani Benjama, Eduardo Diaz, Yasuki Kitamura, Sebastian Bachelet, Olivia Krepin-LeBlanc, Jean-Jacques Subernat, Alan Greenberg, and Leon Sanchez. On the Spanish channel, we'll have Fatima Cambronero. I show no apologies noted for today's conference. Also joining us on the English channel will be Cheryl Langdon Orr. From staff, we'll have Heidi Ulrich and myself, Mary Agnew. Our Spanish interpreter today is Sabrina. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but also for our Spanish interpreters. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc speaking, and have we missed anybody on the roll call? Hearing nobody shout out, the roll call is complete. And the agenda today is going to be quite usual, first with a review of any activity in the IANA coordination group. After that, the last few minutes or hours before the CWG IANA final draft is going off for public comments. And then after that, we will be having time on CCWG accountability, the review of the CCWG plan, and then any other business. So are there any additional items which people would like to add to this? I don't hear anyone, so the agenda is adopted. And I note from Alan Greenberg that we will, during the CWG IANA, be spending a few minutes on some of the design teams. So let's start then. And the action items were very simple. It was for Gisela to send a doodle for this week. So the doodle was done. I gather we'll probably have the same sort of action item for next week. Let's go to agenda item number 3. Review of the IANA coordination group process. And on the call, I understand we have Jean-Jacques Subrenat. And so if Jean-Jacques, you could please provide us with an update, a quick update, on the ICG, that would be very welcome. Jean-Jacques Subrenat, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Please proceed forward.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I've been traveling quite a bit. I may have missed something, but I don't have the impression that there is really anything new compared with what Mohammed or I had to report 2 or 3 weeks ago. The only thing which was notable then was a change in the timeline, because that was something which had been discussed, and that has been published earlier in this in April. But apart from that, I don't think that there's anything to report. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Jean-Jacques. I guess ICG is waiting eagerly for the names part of the proposal to come and join the other two proposals which were received. Are there any questions or comments from anybody on the call regarding the ICG?
This is Avery. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, Avery. You can not only get in the queue, you are the first one in the queue, so you have the floor.
Okay, Avery. Thank you. Yeah, sorry, I'm not on Adobe Connect this morning. Has the coordination group even started paying attention to what we've been doing in preparation, or are they really just sitting there waiting eagerly to see what comes down the line, having never thought about it at all? Thanks.
Thanks for this, Avery. Jean-Jacques?
This is Jean-Jacques. I suppose I can. Yes. Well, I am on a sunny terrace just now, and I can assure her that since the beginning of the ICG work, that's all I've been doing. That's all we've been doing all our lives, sitting on chairs or by swimming pools, which is not my history, waiting for things to happen. But more seriously, we have gone through the two other proposals, which were numbers and protocol parameters, very thoroughly. And it's true that we are waiting for this piece of this proposal from the names community. But of course, as individual members of the ICG, we are following the discussions in the same way as I am following the discussions in your group, in the at-large. So I don't think it would be fair to surmise that you know, we're just waiting inactively. The reason why we are not taking individual action or initiatives or putting out judgment or appraisals on any of the other work done is that we don't have a mandate for that. As you remember, it was clearly stated in our charter right from the start that we would not cobble together a proposal coming from our grey matter juices, but that it would simply be an assemblage, well done I hope, an assemblage of proposals from the communities. So it follows that we are not to intervene in the formulation stages, but that we observe that carefully, and once the proposals are all in, the third proposal is in officially, then we start working. That means working means several things. First of all, hello. Oh, hello. Wow, that was a terrible interruption.
That was terrible.
Yes,
if I may continue, Olivier.
Please go ahead, Jean-Jacques.
This is Jean-Jacques. Yes, the interruption, the musical interlude was not signed by me. So I was saying that it follows from that analysis that we are not to intervene in the preparatory stage because our role is not to affect the end result, nor is it to take bits and pieces on the way to create our own proposal. We are here only to assemble in a usable format a proposal which would take elements from all the proposals officially received. But I can assure you that most, if not all, of the members of the ICG are following events in other parts of ICANN and the internet community, as I am doing by following carefully what is going on in this at-large group. Thank you. Does that answer your question, Agri?
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for this, Jean-Jacques, and thanks for the question, Agri.
That sounded half-hearted.
Well, Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier speaking. The question I have actually is very much along Avery's line. Hasn't the ICG already started work on the other two proposals and perhaps identified any differences between the proposals that the originators of those proposals might need to tackle in order to make them more compatible with each other? And secondly, is anybody, I mean, I guess you did answer in your question that individual members were looking at what the names community was doing in its proposal, but are the chairs going about in any way, because time is of the essence, in looking at the drafts that are likely to come out of the naming community and identifying at least where matters of concern or incompatibility with the other two proposals might arise?
Yes, thanks, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. 2 points. First of all, are we as a group or are the chairs of the ICG looking at this for inconsistencies or incompatibilities? Yes. Two, have we formulated officially as a group, as the ICG, reserves? No, not that I'm aware. I cannot speak on behalf of the chairs and co-chairs, but I think that there has been no official reaction. What I can say, though, is that we felt it was important to specify, to stipulate what our process would be, and that has been done in a fairly detailed way, to know how we would react to the various proposals once we have all three of them. And of course, one of the main things is to look for inconsistencies or incompatibilities among the three. And we have already looked at the two we received to check that there were no major inconsistencies. But as long as we don't have the third proposal sent to us officially, we cannot react officially to that about general trends or proposals. Does that answer your question, Olivier?
Yeah, thanks, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. I had an additional follow-up question for you, but I'm not sure perhaps it would be better suited for Mohamed as one of the vice chairs. But does the ICG plan on starting its work when it receives a final definite copy of the proposal, or are there any plans for them to, I wouldn't say take part, but certainly take the document which is being going to be proposed for public comment in a few hours and take it that a number of component parts of this proposal are likely to not change anymore and to therefore be what the ICG will receive on its desk at the end of the naming communities process?
Yes, Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. So, first of all, I don't have in front of me the date and time of the next conference call of the ICG. It should be pretty soon. It is on a Tuesday, if I remember correctly. And for the time being, I have not seen the proposed or the draft agenda of that meeting. But I'm sure that if and when we have elements on which to work, even if it is not the complete final proposal from the names community, we will be looking at it. Of course, the reaction, our official reaction will have to wait for the proposal to be official, but yes, we'll be looking. Does that answer your question, Olivier?
Yeah, thanks for this, Jean-Jacques. Olivier speaking. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing no one put their hand up, let's then move on in our agenda, and let's go and look at the CWG IANA. You will have noticed a number of things that are in the agenda. First, there is the timeline update. So you can disregard the master schedule of all meetings that I think is being currently implemented swiftly through. But then in the current timeline, what we have is Friday the 17th, the beginning of this weekend, we had a draft that was published and that all members of the CWG IANA and participants have spent time over the weekend to read and review. And there's been a number of feedback that have been sent to the ICG to the CWG IANA mailing list, and then this period for the comments of the working group ends tonight at 23:59 UTC. Then tomorrow, Tuesday, there will be a call to review the proposal, and this could be a dry run from the webinars. But I gather, judging from some of the issues which have been pointed out by some participants of the CWG, that call might be dedicated to trying to resolve those issues and perhaps finding a quick last-minute changes that might be needed. And then on Wednesday, contrary to what I said earlier, it's only on Wednesday that the proposal for public comment will be published. And that's expected to last for 28 days, which is considerably less than the current 40-day new length of time that is done in ICANN public comments. And that's primarily because time is of the essence. And initially the idea was to have it for 30 days, but initially, of course, the public comment was due to start today. So 28 days instead of 30 days, that will be a very short amount of time for a longish report, nearly 100 pages in length. And I think, therefore, it's vitally important that we inform the at-large community of the contents of this report as soon as possible. On Thursday, there is likely to be a call, and then on of the CWG, that's at least what was there. I didn't check just now in my emails. It might have been that this has changed. And then on Friday, there will be two webinars. And one is at 0600 UTC and one at 1400 UTC, and I invite everyone to be on at least one of those two webinars. What we will be doing in the ALAC is to actually stage an additional webinar for CWG IANA, so for this specific report, during the week starting Monday the 27th of April. So that's next week. And that's because so far, and I beg to be corrected, but what I understand is that we will probably not have the two webinars proposed by ICANN, they will probably not be interpreted. So in order to have interpretation in English, Spanish, French, and in order perhaps to have more of our at-large structures go and be directly informed about the contents of this proposal, we propose a webinar probably sometime during that week, with a proposed time of 1900 or 2100 UTC slot, which appears to be the best slot for people around the world. It would be pretty difficult to conduct two webinars as well for at large. That's the proposed timeline, and I emphasizing this is proposed. So please, now the floor is open for questions and comments. Now, Tijani Benjamin has his hand up, so Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Fortunately, there is this ELAC webinar, because for the other webinars, on Friday we have a horrible day, as a CCWG, I mean. We have the Thursday and Friday horrible time, so it is impossible for us to attend any webinar about the CWG work. So fortunately, there is a ELAC one which will be held next week, and I hope it will be a good timing for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Tijani. And that's a fair point. This Friday is going to be tough on a number of people. That's right. Good. Sebastien Bachelet has put his hand up. So, Sebastien, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Olivier. Sebastien Bachelet. I just want to raise the issue of the timing. I know that the time is of essence, but in the same time, if we don't apply the rules we set up, I can set up about the time for public consultation. It's on those issues where it's particularly it will take time to read the document, to understand the document, and then to make comments. And we can decide not to have any comments, and we will have the same one who will comment on the job they already have commented inside the working group. And I really think that it's a very bad idea and very bad precedent that we don't apply our own rules, because if we do that, we can do that for everything, on this very important topic, I would have hoped that we will have at least apply our own policy. Thank you.
Thanks for this,
and
Sebastian.
It's true for the CWG as the CCWG.
For both, yeah. Okay, thank you for this. The next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I don't disagree in theory with what Sebastian said, but we are dealing with a reality we cannot change, number one. And number two, we're in a very different position from how we normally are in comments. On a typical comment period, we have done no preparation ahead of time. It typically takes a week to 2 weeks, sometimes more, to decide if we're going to comment and assign it to someone. And then we start the process. Often the actual formulation of a statement is done in the last 2 weeks or so. This time we have spent an unending amount of time talking about where we are. I believe at this call, or very, very soon afterwards, we need to decide who is going to be writing the comment, how are we going to be pulling it together, and starting the process right now. So although I agree that we shouldn't be doing this on the rush timeline, from an at-large perspective, I think we're in a much better situation than we would otherwise be if we don't delay and actually get something started very soon. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Next is Sébastien Bachelet.
Thank you. Yeah, we can spend. I don't think that it's a question of but we as at large. I am not sure about what to say about ILAC. Yes, because we have enough people in each of the working groups. I am not sure that it is the case from our at large structure and from our member. But I wanted to speak, and we need to speak about the general public and. What we are doing here is to try to have an open, and I can open and transparent, and that's not the case at all. And I don't want us to spend too much time on that issue, but I really think that we are in good position as ALAC, but we are not as a public interest organization. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Sebastian. Olivier speaking. And primarily, the webinars should be able to inform our community of the issues in a much faster way than just throwing the report over to them and the proposal over to them and letting them read about it. I mean, one of the concerns I had, obviously, was the fact that normal, in quotes, comment period would be 40 days in length. And here we are considerably less. We're on 28 days now. That's going to be very difficult. An even bigger concern, actually, for me at the moment is that I don't see any plans for ICANN, or I'm not aware of any plans for ICANN to have that proposal translated fast enough for people who are conversant in French and in Spanish to be able to take part in this. Any of my colleagues on the IANA Stewardship Transition Working Group, I can't remember if there is going to be a translation of this. And whether that's been taken care of by staff. Alan, do you remember by just offhand or...
I can't say definitively. I believe there is an intention, but we know that's going to take some time. So at best, it's going to come out close to the end of our process.
Right. Thank you.
Olivier, as I said in the chat, if there were an extra 12 days, someone coming into this cold without any preparation is not going to be in a position to really make substantive understanding comments on this report. You know, this is a really complex issue, and we have debated thoroughly on many, many issues. So coming into it cold at this point is, you know, other than identifying things that simply are broken and hopefully we will catch those regardless. That would be close to a futile process. So let's not spend too much time. We can't change this at this point. We can certainly, in our report, make a comment on it. We can comment on it through other processes, but that doesn't change the substance of what we need to do at this point.
Thanks for this, Alan. Olivier speaking. I think that perhaps if we can include in our comment the fact that we deplore there wasn't any immediate, of course you can't say immediate because it is a 90-something page report, but certainly have that translation done ASAP and so on. I'm just feeling unhappy about the amount of time that we're given for the public comment, that we're giving the community for the public comment. I totally agree with you that anyone coming in today will take a lot more than 10 days to actually understand the whole depth of the proposal and to be able to contribute meaningfully to it, except, of course, if we as a group have missed something out blatantly, and a fresh set of eyes is going to go, hang on, your proposal doesn't stand. But apart from that, I think the details are going to be a lot more difficult to appreciate. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, as I said, I'm not sure how much time we want to devote to this in this particular call. You use the word we deplore. I deplore the fact that it's taken us this long to have a coherent proposal. We've been working since September, but deploring doesn't change reality. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. Next is Tijani Benchava.
Okay, Olivier, my big fear is that if the translation is not there, you will have a part of the community who will not be able to participate in this consultation, and this is really a pity. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for this, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking, and this is precisely why the idea of having an ALAC or at-large webinar that will be interpreted in Spanish and in French will probably not replace a translation done in time, but it will certainly help with the understanding of those people whose English is not their mother tongue.
Okay,
that's
Olivier.
Mitigation. Tijani.
Okay, Olivier, I agree with you regarding the at-large community, even if it is not 100% true, but it is more or less helping. But what about Chinese and Russian people who are in the other part of the community? What about those people who don't understand English? How can they give their input? This is a big problem for me.
Thanks to this, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. I have no answer for you. The only quick answer I could say, of course, is, oh, well, then we'll have interpretation in Chinese and in Russian as well. And, right now I can see Heidi pulling her hair out and going, no, what? How expensive is this, or how hard is it to get that done? I have no idea. I mean, Heidi, are there any barriers to extending the languages to other?
Hi, Olivia, this is Heidi. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of Tijani's request. Did he request that we have the five UN languages plus English on the at-large webinars?
Tijani did not request. He just deplored that it might be very difficult for Chinese and Russian native speakers to take part in any consultation if there's no translation or interpretation in their languages. But Tijani, did I paraphrase this correctly?
Absolutely, Olivier, absolutely.
Okay, so Johnny, this is Heidi again. Are you speaking for the ICANN-wide webinars or the ones next week for the at-large webinars? I can do more on the at-large webinars.
Yeah, I understand, but my comment was about the whole community, the broader community, to participate in this consultation. And I said that if for at-large we have this semi-solution or a solution which is not 100% efficient, at least for the other communities, for people who are speaking other languages, they will not be able to participate in this crucial consultation. It is crucial for the future of ICANN and for the future of Internet. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Tijani. Olivia speaking. Heidi, question, and of course that's along with Alan. Please jump in if you may, since you are the chair of the ALAC. Would it be financially sustainable for At Large to translate or to interpret the webinar that we will be having, so the ALAC webinar, in the five UN languages?
Olivia, this is Heidi. I can certainly look into whether they are available, and we can likely offer that. I would need to consult with Gisela on how that's going to be set up, though.
Okay, thanks
can,
for this.
Can you put me in the line?
Yeah, I would love to put me. I'm not sure who is in the queue at the moment. Sorry, who was that speaking?
It was Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. Please, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, follow up before Cheryl, please.
First Cheryl, mm-hmm. And then... Yes. Let me just first have Cheryl, and then over to you, Tijani, after Cheryl and Donor. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you. If Heidi continues on that line, that's fine. As long as the usual requirements for at least two, if not more, speakers are there, if you're showing that need. If you are not going to do it that way, then you need, as an ALAC, to make the decision that you are having it interpreted because you want the archival record available for people in those languages, which is the six UN languages, which would include Russian and Chinese. Now, that's also okay, but I do go back to Alan's point that the likelihood of people in the last little while bringing themselves up to speed if they haven't come along on this journey already is actually quite small. And I can assure you that most of the Chinese and Russian community within ICANN that I deal with in the naming world as well as the numbering world manage quite well in English under normal circumstances. Thank you.
Thanks for this. Next is Tijani and then Alan afterwards. Tijani Benjamin.
Okay, it's only to say that I wasn't speaking about the At-Large community, since for the At-Large community the most spoken languages are English, French and Spanish, and this is solved by the interpretation of the webinar. I am speaking about the others who doesn't have the chance to have their language and who are not on the air at large. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Tijani. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Let's make it clear. I'll ask Tijani a question first. When you say you're speaking on behalf of the other communities, does that mean you're talking in relation to the ICANN-wide webinars or our webinars?
I am not talking in the name of the other communities. I am just reflecting a fear for me that some of the community will not be able to participate in the consultation. And I am speaking about the broader community, not about the at-large community.
Okay. So what we're talking about here is not increased translation for the at-large community, which presumably will include Spanish and French, the languages we normally use, although we now do Russian on our ALAC call. You're suggesting that we make a statement quickly to the wider community, to ICANN, that they should do wider translation on their overall webinars. I'm trying to get from this discussion down to what are we going to do about it.
This is the interpreter on the line. Fatima Cambronero is requesting the floor.
Okay, thank you. Let's have Fatima Cambronero, please.
Hello?
Fatima speaking for the record. Thank you, Olivier. I'm not in the Adobe Connect room. My apologies for interrupting to ask for the floor. I am following this discussion on interpretation services, and in my opinion, it's not something that we have to solve in at large. Of course, if we can do something, of course, that is more than welcome. But we have been asking for interpretation services right from the start in our group, and we didn't get that service. So if you, and also if participants are not very fluent in English, they will miss something in the discussions. So now we need to have the document translated into all the languages in due time, so that people can participate and can make their comments. And also, in my point of view, these are CWG issues that shouldn't be repeated in the next cross-community working groups. We need to be inclusive, and if we're not inclusive, we will be leaving out a lot of people in the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fatima. Olivier Catanablanc speaking. And I don't want to spend the whole call on the issue of interpretation. I know it's infuriating that the CWG doesn't appear to have, well, they must have thought about it, but they don't seem to be particularly warm or lukewarm to have things like that done. What I understand is the document will be translated. I do not know if the webinar staged by ICANN will be interpreted in any other languages. What I would suggest is that we as in the ALAC, so Alan Greenberg on behalf of the ALAC, would send an email to the co-chairs and to the staff in charge of this, and perhaps copying Teresa Swinehart, who is the overall shepherd for the whole process, to ask that these two webinars that will be on Friday this week will be interpreted in the UN languages. Whether there is a chance for this to be arranged at such short notice or not, I think is outside our ability to do anything. On the other hand, as far as the ALAC call is concerned, next week, I think that there is a higher chance of us being able to proceed forward because of the fact that Heidi Ulrich and Gisela Gruber are in charge, and they would be able to arrange for this much more easily. I think that's the overall thing. With regards to the translation of the document, well, the time is so short, I have no idea when that document will be ready in other languages than English. Obviously, it takes time to translate such a document, and I don't know what the arrangements are at the moment. Alan Greenberg, and then I think we need to move on to the actual contents of the document rather than the translation and interpretation. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. Olivia, you just said you know the documents will be translated. Was that based on my vague comment or something else has come to your attention since you asked me the question?
It's Olivia speaking. I understand from the discussion that took place, I think it was last week, that they were going to translate the documents. But that was not reflected in any of the notes of the meeting.
Okay. Number
and
one,
it might be that it was either fallen through or that they're not thinking of translating it, in which case it's just terrible.
Okay. Number one, we need to verify that. And I'll ask staff to check with the CWG staff to find out what, if anything, is going to be translated into what, if any, languages. That's number one. Number two, there's an action item for Heidi to check with Gisela if the five UN languages are available for the ALAC webinar. I don't believe anyone has proposed that. I think Jenny was talking about the wider ICANN community, not at large, and I would suggest that there is no rationale for us using languages in the webinar that we never use in any other presentation and any other of our activities. And number three, I would suggest once we know what is happening with translation, then we decide very quickly, and we may want to charge it to the ALT just for expediency to decide what, if anything, we do about interpretation on the ICANN-wide webinar. I would say that presenting the webinar in Arabic or Chinese, for instance, when if there's not even going to be a summary of the document in that language, it's probably close to useless. So, and the slides are never translated into the other language, as far as I know. So let's do something practical, and I agree with Fatima that we should start taking some action to make sure that next time this comes around, we're not in the stupid position we are today. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Alan Olivier speaking, and let's then move forward. I think we've got a good plan forward. If you could review the action items, please, Alan, and then perhaps liaise with staff on whether they need to be slightly amended. Heidi Orish, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Yes, I've just confirmed with the SI staff here in Washington that, yes, the document will be translated into the five UN languages. It will go out in English, obviously, first, and then it will be translated. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Heidi. So at least that's one good thing, that there will be a translation, and of course it takes a few days, but hopefully it will not arrive 2 days before the end of the comment period. Let's move on then now to the actual, well, first the design teams, because of course, as you know, there is the final document draft itself, but that incorporates all the different parts, all the different component parts of the different design teams. We're not going to go through each team because I think we've gone beyond that, although there might be some comments on some of the more recent work of the design teams. Some of them have submitted their text a while ago already, but others have not, and a large amount of work took place in the past few days on this. Alan, I know that you wanted to touch on a few points, so I'll hand you the floor over for this. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I just want to take a few minutes to talk about Design Team F. That is a group that I ran, and it only started work about a week ago. And we did deliver recommendations, which are largely, with one exception, I believe both rational and have the general support of the group. Design Team F was looking at essentially the core of everything we've been talking about. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but essentially Design Team F was saying, fine, the NTIA is going away. What's going to happen? How is actual operation going to change because the NTIA is not there? Now, Design Team D, which Cheryl ran, I believe, looked at the part of NTIA action that we have focused on almost ad infinitum from the start of this process. That is, every change that goes into the root zone, every change that goes into the who is file that goes along with the root zone is approved by the NTIA. So it's created by requests from changes or whatever by IANA. It's sent to VeriSign as the organization that signs the root and publishes it, distributes it. But they can't do anything unless the NTIA approves it. Design Team D said we don't need that approval. That was largely, I presume, based on the fact the NTIA has, in recent history, has never refused, has never withheld their approval. So it has been, for all intents and purposes, somewhat of a rubber stamp. Design Team F was charged with saying, do we need anything else to replace it if we're not going to approve it? And more important, is there anything else the NTIA does that we need to think about? Although it was not common, it turns out the NTIA does do something else. And what they do is far more, I'm not sure the word intrusive is correct, but far more involved, far more active than the authorization function ever is. And specifically, NTIA has overseen the IANA operation. Virtually any change to the IANA operation in terms of internal processes, in terms of reports they publish, everything is approved by the NTIA. So if IANA wants to publish a new report or change a report, that has to be approved. And the NTIA did not rubber stamp these, but has been actively involved and made changes, and in a significant number of times has said, no, don't do that. And we are making a recommendation that says for the major substantive changes, things like DNSSEC, things like architectural changes, we do need an approval function, and we need to find somebody or some entity to do that. That's not resolved, but it's decided that we do need someone, or at least that's the recommendation in the report. And on the more mundane things, we are suggesting that IANA be given full management discretion to do what it believes is correct, in consultation with the appropriate parts of the community as necessary. That's a very substantive change to how IANA works. And it's quite interesting that it's a significant part of how IANA works on a day-to-day basis, and it's something that we never actually got around to discussing or even were fully aware of prior to this discussion. So I just think it's rather interesting and a little bit scary, perhaps, because we don't know what else we haven't thought about yet. The one part that is controversial is we are going from three entities, IANA, NTIA, and VeriSign, the root zone maintainer, to two, with NTIA going out of the question. There are a number of people who say we must have a principle in place that we never go to one. That is, we never award the contract to a single entity, because there's a strong feeling that having two parties making decisions is a safer situation than one. Although it has been noted that there are still many single points of failure, single places that either entity can make changes that the other one couldn't stop. So it's not truly a two-party situation. And there's a strong debate going on right now whether, in fact, we need two parties, or if we do want two parties, should the responsibilities be divided the way they are right now? And that is a substantive argument that we are looking for input on in the process. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Alan. And it's Olivia speaking. I have just a point regarding Design Team F. Is the text ready already somewhere? Or
it's incorporated in the report.
Okay, thanks. Because looking at the wiki, it doesn't seem to be on the wiki.
It does not say Design Team F in brackets. That was forgotten. It's the section on the relationship between NTIA or IANA and the root zone maintainer, and the full text is in Annex M.
Ah, okay.
It was incorporated at the very last moment, and Marika forgot to put the DTF on the appropriate chapters.
Yeah, thanks for this, Alan, and it's Olivia speaking. Perhaps can you also let Grace or whoever deals with the wiki, if they could update the wiki section on DTF, that would be helpful, because at the moment all of the others are updated, but not this one.
It's Marika that does that. I'll ask her to do that.
Marika,
she's been somewhat busy.
I can believe so, yes. It's that time of the year. Okay, are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, Olivier, just as a note, unfortunately that is not really a wiki page. It looks like a wiki page, but it's really a Word document. So updating it is non-trivial.
No, I'm looking at the wiki page for DTF. There's a wiki page for DTF, which is...
Okay, but the overall summaries for all
right
of the
here.
Word themes, which should be including the text and stuff like that, is a Word document. But, if either I will update it or someone will.
Okay, thanks. Now, I know it is a Word document. I've actually had the joy to update it last week, in the end of last week, and a few points I had made which I had missed. Right, any other questions or comments on this? Now, we're looking here at a very large report, over 90 pages. Those people on the CWG IANA mailing list might have noticed some feedback from a number of people. I think the one feedback which seemed to be signifying a bit of a showstopper, and I'm not sure, I haven't managed to read the last 20 emails in my mailbox on this, was the one from Andrew Sullivan. Has anybody actually managed to track today's discussion and where we are on that? There's 101 pages now. Okay, it's added. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Yeah, the answer is no. I read his original email. I haven't seen anything today or looked at anything today. Some of the discussion that's going on the list is substantive. Some of it is downright inane. I mean, there are discussions about things that are simple facts, and people are, you know, are treating them as if there's things that are debatable, whereas there are things that are simply, you know, not subject to debate at all. And there's a large amount of time being wasted, but I can't comment on his specific interventions.
Thanks for this, Alan. Soledia speaking. I know there is also another thread of discussion regarding the legal structure and the costs, the added costs of the legal structure, with some saying that these should be noted and others saying they shouldn't be noted and saying, well, we should say it's fairly minimal. I mean, these are really starting to be little points of details that are starting to be added there. And I gather that I'm not sure it's for this community here to adopt any specific position on those as a concerted position on these little points, because by the time we reach that position, the final report will probably be published by then. Alan Greenberg.
That's one of the ones I was talking about. It's well understood by vast numbers of people around the world what the minimal costs are to have a corporation. You have accounting costs, you need to contract with auditors, you need to file some tax papers. There's not an awful lot else that you have to do if you want to treat it minimally. If you want to give it more responsibility, more authority, more whatever, then it becomes more complex. But having the debate over that kind of thing, I think, is silly. You know, having the debate over whether the RIR's contract could be done should be done with ICANN or the subsidiary, or if it's done with ICANN, can ICANN assign it to the subsidiary? Those are well understood things in contract law, and you know, it's we're spending time debating things which I do not think are subject worthy of debate. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. Certainly, my understanding was the sub-team, the design team that dealt with the budget, looked at perhaps obtaining more data on the, maybe not the legal option, but if post-transition INA was a separate organization and it was felt that it was very difficult to speculate on these, and these were going to be small costs perhaps, but in order to actually do some work to evaluate them exactly would probably be obsolete a few months from now due to the changing nature of all these costs. So, okay, are there any other points which the ALAC should be particularly strong on? I guess at this moment, if you haven't read the overall document, it's going to be very difficult to take it in. I note most of the points which were made were small points such as that and a few others. Just to be clear on this, it looks as though the CWG has not really decided on either a legal separation or a functional separation, or is more like leaning towards legal separation and less on the functional separation, but the choice will be made after the public comment. Anyone to comment on this? Eduardo Diaz. Cheryl, you'll be in the queue.
I don't wish to comment. I have to leave this call now to attend a CWG planning meeting. So I just wanted to let you know and to let Terry know I don't need a dial out. Thank you.
Okay, just one thing, Cheryl, before you leave. Is there anything that you wanted to contribute to the call here that before you go?
The only thing I would like people to do is take, and this is more for the CCWG, which I'm not going to be in this call for now, and that is with the CCWG, look very closely at the stress test, which I think is around page 74 to 77 or thereabouts in the document that will come out next week, okay?
Okay, that's great. Thank you for this, Cheryl, and have a good coordination call.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. And over to Eduardo now. Eduardo Diaz, you have the floor.
Thank you, Oliver. This is Eduardo for the record. In regards to the legal separation or functional separation proposal, I understand the proposal that is going to go out is geared to support the legal separation. And remembering our last call, Alan mentioning that, you know, we should say something. When I say we, I mean the CWG, to say something about the fact that, you know, the proposal that is being put out is a legal separation, but there is, you know, a functional separation somehow that we can look at it. I'm afraid that what is going to happen, and what in thinking about the things that we were saying previously in the call, is that, you know, if for somebody that is has not been through this journey, it would be very difficult to distinguish, you know, what is being said about legal separation or functional separation. I just wanted to make that point. I think in the end, this is going to be a legally separated affiliate based on this proposal that is going to come out for public comment, except if some people out there, and I'm not saying that Alag should do it, but some people there will mention the functional separation as another alternative, but, you know, in any case, both solutions are internal to ICANN at a certain point. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Eduardo. Olivier speaking. Are there any other comments on this? Don't see anyone putting their hand up. One last comment for me then on this. I think that what we are seeing now as the draft that the CWG had in their hands over the weekend is going to be pretty close to the final draft that will go out for public comment. What I would suggest is that during our next call, we focus specifically on the ALAC comments. As far as the pen holder is concerned, we you know, any of us could hold the pen, provided any of us has the time to hold the pen, or we could have a number of people holding the pen together using a Google Doc. What's important, though, is for us to focus on the actual comments from the ALAC, maybe the point that you made here, Eduardo, maybe other points that will emerge that the ALAC would like to alert the CWG about in a formal way. I gather that there will be a comment from the ALAC. And I turn over to Alan Greenberg on this. Do you expect that the ALAC will be interested in submitting a formal comment?
My personal opinion is I believe it's mandatory. Even if we are only saying we support the general direction that the CWG is going in.
Okay, thanks for this. So how does the plan then to focus from today until our next call, which will likely happen next week, focus on a possible ALAC response? And of course, next week and the week after, since we will be receiving further input, although I'm not sure we'll receive so much, but we will be receiving further input from our community by then. Jean-Jacques Subrenat, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. I'd just like to support Alan's view that it would be mandatory for the at-large, for ALAC, to make a written comment. I think it's very important because if you go back to the beginning of this, there was a strong discussion, you remember, about who is entitled to make proposals, who is entitled to give an opinion, etc. And it wasn't a foregone conclusion. It was certainly not easy to get the at-large representation to be considered as quite a normal fixture of the whole thing. So I think that it makes perfect sense to use this opportunity and every other opportunity, whether in the ICG or the CCWG or CWG, to make known our views. Because, as I've said on occasions, I think that if you look at the whole history of the Internet, it has been led successively by first the military and academics, by business and their inevitable lawyers. And the user dimension or the user perspective has always come. So this is really one of those occasions where the user perspective must become an essential input, I think. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Jean-Jacques. Olivier Campagnoblanc speaking. And certainly, I think that part of the reason why our representatives here on the CWG were often asking for a widening of some of the committees that will be formed into a multi-stakeholder communities rather than just having the primary customers, the CCTLDs and the GTLD operators, was directly in line with what you mentioned here. I realize the time is ticking. Let's have just an action item for a page to be created in anticipation of the public comment, which I remind you all will start on Wednesday, a wiki page to be created for that public comment so that we don't have that one-day delay until it gets ready for consumption by the ALAC. And another thing, I think that we should immediately also publicize the two webinars that will happen on Friday, the two ICANN webinars that will happen on Friday. And with this, are there any other comments or questions on the CWG INIA before we move over to the accountability thread? Jean-Jacques, is that a new hand?
Sorry, no, that's an old hand, as I would say, especially age-wise. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Tijani Benjamin, you're next.
Thank you, Olivier. A last word about this. If there is any opportunity for you as CWG members, that you make the public comments 40 days rather than 25 days or 28 days, it will be very good because these additional 10 days can be used for have more time for translation of the document to make more people, larger people, able to comment on this project. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Tijani. Helpful as well. All right, let's move on then. And I don't see any other hands, so I hand the floor over to either Alan or to Leon for CCWG accountability.
Happy to take on that. Alan, would you mind, or do you want to take that?
No, I not only have, I would be delighted if you do it. I'm trying to find it if I'm supposed to be at the call that Cheryl just went to, so please go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. Well, with regards to the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability, we are going, we finished the first set of documents that are going to be put into discussion in our intensive work session this week, which will happen on Thursday and Friday. And the intent for this, you have the attached documents in the agenda. One of them is, both of them are the frozen documents with regards to Working Party 1 and Working Party 2. And, of course, the general report that that we've been setting up in the cultures and staff. And we also have a memorandum from the legal advisors. And, there are a lot of documents that will be reviewed in this intensive work session. This session, as I said, will take place on Thursday and Friday. And we will hold on Thursday four calls. The first one will be from 4 UTC to 6 UTC, then the second one from 11 to 12 UTC, and then the last one from 19 to 22 UTC. And after that, we will be holding also another call, which is intended to be for the legal sub-team. But of course, since the legal sub-team is open to anyone, anyone is welcome to join that extended call. And that will happen from 23 UTC and then for 2 hours. And then on Friday, we will be having a call at 8 UTC for 2 hours, then from 13 to 14 UTC, and then from 16 to 19 UTC. The intent of this intensive work session is to build our first draft proposal so we can put it for public comment. This would be happening ideally on May the 1st, and then we would be having a 30-day comment period. So, of course, the community can provide feedback, and we will be able then to just review the different comments received from the community and discuss them in our face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires, which will happen on June 19th. So, as I said, we have a couple of documents that I don't mean to go through them exhaustively at this call, since we are very short in time. But the first one that is already displayed in your screen is a memorandum that was sent for us from the legal advisors with regards to a comparative chart that was set up by Robin Gross and Greg Chatham on analyzing or comparing the two different structures, membership structures that have been so far discussed within the legal subteam and the larger group. The first one is, you can scroll down. We have, of course, a lot of information with regards to the two different models. But the first one is the membership model. And I'm sorry, the designator model, and then we have the membership model. As I said, I don't intend to go into details at this stage, but you can review this chart. It is meant to, of course, compare and highlight the up and downs from each model, and, of course, provide with the advice on whether one structure is more advantageous to the ICANN community than the other, and so we can, of course, take a decision. The lawyers have recommended that for the different mechanisms and powers that the CCWG has been discussing and is trying to set about goals to achieve, the membership model would be the most suitable to put in place the different measures, mechanisms, and powers for the community as opposed to the designator model. There has been some discussion around the comparison of these two models. We don't have a consensus yet, nor have reached, of course, a decision on whether our recommendation would be lying towards a membership model or a designator model. And I think that this will be, of course, also a matter of discussion in our intensive work session this following Thursday and Friday. Then we have another document, which I would like Terry to please display on your screens.
And Leon, it's Terry. I'll get that in just one moment. It's just freezing up on me.
Excellent, Terry. Thanks. I see, in the meantime, I see Sebastian Bachelet's hand is up. Sebastian, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. It's Sebastian. Yeah, I have
at least two questions. The first one, maybe as you know, I was not able to participate to the second part of the call where the documents were presented last time, but I am concerned that we don't take on board the history, why ICANN was created as a non-member organization. I think we need to have a full and clear answer before we decide to go to any type of membership model, because we may decide to change. I have no problem with that.
Thank you, Sebastian.
My second point, I am very concerned about 1%. Sorry. Go ahead, Leon, if you want. I have a second point, but go.
Yes. I was saying that your question is exactly one of the several issues that needs to be addressed before making a decision towards recommending going with a membership or a designator model structure. So you are right. We need to dig into ICANN's history to find out why it was founded as a non-membership organization to begin with. And from there, of course, assess the original means of the founding people of ICANN and see if it's still aligned to ICANN's mission and values, and from there, of course, make our recommendation.
Yes, and thank you, Roland. I heard the presentation, and it was said that once you have the member, you will not be able to change the members. And that has a lot of concern to me. That means that this organization will be stuck in the current with the current ASO and ASO. That is a good idea at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. And that's also another concern from not only ourselves, but from many members in the larger group. And while the legal documents so far have told us that one of the downsides is exactly what you are pointing out at this time, and we would, of course, need to be very careful how any change is implemented into the bylaws so that we prevent that future members are not prevented from joining or even being created. So I think that's a very important point, and I think it will be also part of the discussion, if not of the larger group, in our intensive work session this next days. It will surely be one of the points that needs to be addressed by the legal something. I see next in line is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I have a number, I'm not sure the word is concerns, but as I was listening to the descriptions, a number of things hit me. First of all, the legal team is suggesting that if we go with membership route, that the members be essentially the ACs and SOs or whatever we choose, but that they have to be transformed into, I believe what they were saying was unincorporated associations to have a legal presence to be able to be a member. They also said something interesting, if I caught it correctly, because they didn't say it quite clearly, is that in our current environment with ACs and SOs selecting board members but not having being legal entities, we are neither designators nor members. And therefore, we really only are selecting board members with the agreement of the board that they could take those rights away from us and we wouldn't have a legal recourse, which, of course, is true. We have very little legal recourse against the directors. We know that. But phrasing it like that was interesting. I have a little bit of concern, however, that if we are transformed into legal entities,
even in the form of unincorporated associations, that there may be liabilities associated with this, which may change the whole concept of how we act as volunteers in ICANN. And that's one of my concerns. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Yes, you're right. Liabilities, an issue that, of course, raises a lot of concerns around those who would be being part of the different bodies that would conform ICANN in its future form. And the lawyers have also stated that while in some models, liability might arise from having a certain role within the organization, there are also ways to mitigate that liability, and of course those different mechanisms should be assessed and evaluated before making a recommendation, because that's definitely a very fair point. I see next in line is Avery. Avery, could you please take the floor?
Okay, thanks. This is Avery speaking. Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments. Most has already been said. First of all, I wanted to point out that while the history is interesting, I don't think we should get bogged down in it, because it was a history about discussing individual membership and all the complexities of that, individuals, organizations, how you did that. This is the word member may be the same word, but it's not anywhere close to being the same concept that was discussed by early ICANN, having spent too much time studying that history. So it's interesting, but it's kind of less than completely relevant. I think the issues about the SOAC and how you add a new member, although adding a new SOAC is already a monumental task, indeed, there'd have to be provisions for the members being able to, you know, accept new members, and that, you know, could be an issue. I'm not sure that I've come to the point of being one of the those that favor the membership or even champion because of the liability, and I'm still looking for the mitigations. But I think in terms of the ACs and SOs wanting an ability to actually influence the organization, few other alternatives have come through. It is true, at this point, we still do everything at the sufferance of the board. If the board doesn't want it, the board changes it. You know, we know that they almost always act by unanimity anyway. Okay, not always, but very frequently. So whether it's two-thirds, three-quarters, or what have you, is not usually the issue. Because of that, they can change any bylaw that exists and can therefore change, you know, how we interact, what we do. Now, they wouldn't do it. We would protest. We would make noise. But it's protest and making noise and group letters that we use to control things, and sending letters to our favorite senator, congressman, or EU delegate, or what have you. But you know, getting some real legal voice is something that's really worth considering. So I'm still trying to figure out whether I think members, designators, or some third option, staying what we are now, is the right way to go. But it really is a very interesting proposal to explore. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery. Yes, and this also adds up to some other mechanisms that have been thought of within the group, like the fundamental bylaws and, of course, the independent review panel. This would provide an integral or a holistic approach to these concerns, I guess. And next in line, I see Sebastian Bachelet. Could you please take the floor?
Yes. Thank you very much, Leon. Just one point about the incorporation of our entity, or possible incorporation of our entity. Can it be done in other countries than in California? It would be interesting. Let's imagine that it's not the CCNSO who become member, but there are the regional organization like Santa. Santa is incorporated in Europe, and you have the same in other regions. Can they be a member of ICANN and be incorporated somewhere else? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. And this also ties up to jurisdiction issues, which are another important concern by many members of the group. And while this has been considered to be a Workstream 2 issue, this is something that has also been discussed widely and will continue to be discussed, I think, in our intensive working sessions. Next on the queue is Tijani Benjima. Tijani, are you on mute?
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, we do hear you.
Do you hear
now.
Me now? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Leon. Tijani speaking. Till Istanbul, we made a very good progress, and the pace was very good, and things were more or less clear for everyone. But the last 3 weeks, we made a vertiginous speed up that make few people following, and I want to thank and to really congratulate our two coordinators, who especially Jordan, who is working very hard and very good. But this doesn't make everyone able to follow the work and to understand and to contribute. This was expressed by a lot of people on the group. And I feel that the co-chairs are feeling the problem and try to find a solution, but I feel also that the solution is not in their hands, and they are not doing what they want, they are doing what they should do. And this is unfortunate for me, because the public comment will not receive the opinion of the whole group. It will receive the work of the very hard workers and of people who have more time than the others to contribute and to make this work advance. Also, from Istanbul to now, there is less things clear for everyone, even among people who are working hard. Because we have now the legal advice, and we have some not new, but something which we have to take an account that we didn't take an account before, and even what was agreed on in Istanbul, now some people are now discussing it. So how can we give to the public, to the community, a proposal that we, among us, inside the group, we are not all sure that we agree on everything on it. So this is a concern that I expressed from the first week of the speed up. Unfortunately, I was absent during the last week because I was on another work, which is plus 10 in Africa. So I was absent, and it was my fault, my problem. It wasn't the problem of the group. But even those who were on the work during last week also are complaining the same. So I once again want to thank people who work very hard, but I want to say and to emphasize that the document that will be on the public comment will not reflect the point of view of the whole group. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Yes, this is a concern that's been raised by many participants and members of the group. We are well aware that the recently speed up of the process is might be very hard to keep up with, and we have kept in mind the principle of being as inclusive as possible, but also trying to keep track or be in track to enable the CWG to deliver their proposal. So, as discussed, we are focusing, of course, in dependencies, so we can provide the CWG with the right input for them to finish their proposal. And let's not forget that this first draft that would be sent for public comment is, of course, not meant to be a final proposal, but rather a first approach, which would be fed by the feedback of the community and, of course, refined in a later process, which would, of course, be then subject to group consensus. Because we need to see this as a document that will be released, but not really a call of for consensus on a final proposal. So I get your concern, and I think my co-chairs do as well, but we really need to keep on track to enable the CWG to deliver their work as well. We might have more time for our work within the enhancing accountability work group, but we also need to keep in mind that some other working groups depend on us to deliver their final proposal. I'm mindful of the time. We are almost reaching half past the hour, and I just want to point in this document that you have on your screen, which is a rather large document, 82 pages so far. It's an initial report of what's been done by the CCWG on enhancing accountability, and just a funny detail, if you look into the chart or the table of contents, you will see that the power for recalling the entire ICANN board is 6.6.6, which wasn't meant to be there intentionally, it's a mere coincidence. So, okay, so Sabrina says that she can extend for 10 more minutes. So, well, this is a rather large document. I wouldn't want to go through the whole document at this point, since it's not feasible because of the time constraints. But I would just point to the different pillars of this document so far, the different powers and mechanisms that have been designed by the CCWG working parties, Working Party 1, Working Party 2, and Working Party on Stress Test. We have the main point or the main part of this document is, of course, point number 6, which is the accountability mechanisms, which you can review with a description of the overall accountability architecture that has been looked into, and of course the different alternatives that have been designed by the different working parties. And we have, of course, the revised mission commitments and current values. I apologize for the children in the background, the children in the background. And we have also the fundamental bylaws, which, as I was saying previously, with the concern raised by Avery, this would be another point that the proposal would be considering: the independent review panel, the reconsideration process, the community empowered by different mechanisms, which would be, of course, the power to reconsider or reject budget or strategy operating plans, the power to reconsider or reject changes to ICANN bylaws, the power to approve changes to fundamental bylaws, the power for recalling individual or the whole board as community power, of course, and the incorporation of the affirmation of commitments into ICANN bylaws, and preserving ICANN commitments from the affirmation of commitments, and the different reviews that would be put in place, the recurrent reviews that should be put in place in the bylaws, so to assure that ICANN is held accountable to the different stakeholders and, of course, constituencies that form the ICANN community. So at this point, I would like to open the floor for comments or questions with regards to this document. I am aware that this was only circulated yesterday, I think, so I don't expect anyone to have gone through it as a whole. But if you have any comments or suggestions that could, of course, enrich this document, they are most welcome. So I open the floor for any comments or questions. I don't see anyone raising their hand. So with this...
It's Olivier, and sorry, my Adobe Connect for some reason has now frozen at the most inappropriate time. I just put my hand up, please.
You're next, so please take the floor.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Leon. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. I have a question on how the CWG and the CCWG processes link up together. One of the most significant parts of the IANA stewardship transition is to do with the customer standing committee that looks at the service level expectations of the operator, and effectively if something goes wrong, and there's a whole escalation process that has been designed to make sure the matter is escalated through a specific path. And it is repeated in many, maybe not many, but in several places in the CWG IANA proposal that there would be an escalation process beyond the CSC that would go, and it mentions here, to the CCNSO and the GNSO, and which would include the RRP, which I believe is the independent reconsideration process, and CCWG Workstream 1 accountability mechanisms once these are completed. Could you point us to those, please, and let us know in 30 seconds what these involve, please?
Yes, Olivia. I think that if I'm understanding correct your concern and your question, the way for the CCWG to address this part of the CWG work and proposal is linked to whether we are able to design an independent review panel whose decisions are likely to be of course mandatory or are binding to the board, so any process that of course follows the escalating path and reaches the IRT then would of course need to have a decision that would be binding to the board and then solving any dispute or any problem that might have escalated that far. I don't know if that addresses your concern.
Yeah, thanks, Leon. It's Olivia speaking. I guess it does. It's just to be alerted whether the two interface well together. And if that works, then that's fine. The only concern I have is that the escalation process at the moment is through the CCNSO and the GNSO, and I'm not sure how that will fly, but then my colleagues here would have maybe other points of view on that as well. But once that reaches the accountability process of ICANN, then maybe it's a different thing.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Leon Sanchez again. We are also looking into escalation paths within the CCWG, and I would think that this escalation paths should need to be, of course, synchronized or at least analog to those envisioned by the CWG. So I think we will be, of course, having coordination with the CWG as to try to synchronize both escalation paths, if not making the same escalation path for any process that we end up proposing in the CCWG.
Okay, thanks for this, Leon. It's Olivier speaking. And just to add, for my colleagues on the CWG INA, this is Annex K, INA problem resolution process. I'm mentioning. Okay. Sorry, I'm jumping into your part of the call. Back to you, Leon. Apologies with that.
No, you're perfectly okay. I was about just to hand the call to you, since I think we have gone through the CCWG accountability part of the call. So I'd like to hand it back to you for any other business.
So thank you very much, Leon. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and as Leon has just mentioned, let's go to any other business. Okay, I don't see anyone putting their hand up now. We've got a number of action items that are in the chat on the right-hand side. On the box, Alan Greenberg, on behalf of the ALACs, to send a note to the co-chairs and staff and support to ask that the webinars this week be interpreted in the 5 UN languages. Gisela Gruber to arrange Spanish and French interpretation on the at-large webinars the week of the 27th. No minimum request required. Heidi Orish checked the CWG INA staff if document will be translated into 5 UN languages. The English version will be posted for published comment first. The other language versions will be posted as soon as possible. So maybe that's an action item with an answer already there. Alan Greenberg to check with Marika if DTF, F for Foxtrot, can be updated on the wiki or document. Terry Agnew is to create a wiki page for public comment. Terry, I'm not sure whether that will go on the on a space that will be under the CWG hierarchy or whether that will be under the policy development hierarchy. Perhaps can you follow up afterwards with Ariel and with Heidi and with Alan and myself?
I certainly will. Thank you.
Thanks. And then, Terry, to ensure that the ALAC publicize the two ICANN webinars taking place on April 24th, 2015. Finally, just a quick question to you, Leon. When do you expect a public comment to be launched again on the accountability thread?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Leon Sanchez. We expect to launch the public comment on May the 1st. So we can have a 30-day comment period and end it, of course, by June the 1st or June the 2nd, and then be able to compile all the feedback received through the public comment period so we can refine the document for discussion in our face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires on the 19th of June.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks so much for this. And I guess we will have time during the next call that we have next week to be able to discuss that public comment and perhaps also check on the ability to have the document translated and the webinar, if there will be any webinars, done in other UN languages. In the meantime, last action item also, we need a doodle for next week. How are we looking for next week, everyone? Early part of the week, latter part of the week? Are there any preferences?
Olivier?
Yes, Tijani, you have the floor.
Sure, it must be after the webinar, the at-large webinar.
Okay, that's a very good point, so that we have then a follow-up after that to work on. Very good point. So a doodle, I guess, will probably be in the second part of the week then, if that's the case, if we need to do after the webinar. Do we have an idea of the date of the webinar? Gisela, perhaps, might you know where this is going? Gisela Gruber, you might be muted. or Terry?
And Olivia, I'm checking with Gisela right now. Her audio is frozen. She's trying to get unmuted, and no date as of yet. And she will get back to. And she will get back to Olivia.
Okay, so we'll just make sure that the webinar takes place before our next CWG and CCWG call. And with this, I thank you all. I thank Sabrina, the Spanish interpreter in particular, for having remained an additional 10, 12 minutes on the call, and our staff, of course, including Terry, who has prepared all of the agendas up here. So that's great. Thanks to you all. I speak to you next week. And until then, please, we have until midnight to comment a little bit more just before it goes out for public comment. Comment on that CWG document. And to remind you all, that document is linked from the agenda, from today's agenda. If you don't know where today's agenda is, have a look in the chat, scroll back, and at the beginning of the chat on the Adobe Connect will be a link to the agenda. Thank you very much, and have a great week. This call is now adjourned.
Bye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.